For protesters in cities across the country, the past is the present. Racism, brutality, and inequality still infect America 400 years after the first enslaved Africans were brought here. And it is questions about the past and how it informs the present that Britt Bennett takes on in her new novel, The Vanishing Half. Our co-host Mary Louise Kelly spoke with her about it.
The book is about twin sisters, identical twins, African-American, skin so light that while one sister lives as a black woman, the other passes as white. Both sisters are haunted by personal and collective traumas of the past, and whether it is possible to erase that past in the name of a better future. Britt Bennett, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you with us. And if I may just start with the current moment, you, as a writer who has thought deeply about race in this country, I have to ask what's on your mind as you look at this country today in 2020?
Yeah, it's been a very surreal week to be releasing this book in particular. It begins in 1968 during this period of civil unrest. And I think 1968 is a year that's on everybody's mind right now because of the protests happening. I think also the book is concerned in race and how we form racial identities and racial injustice. And that's obviously something that's resonating with people right now, too.
Yeah, there was a page that I was underlining and starring. This is page 158, because there is a scene where it's set in the summer of 1968, and one of your characters is watching the news and describes sitting on the arm of a chair and watching cities across the country lit up in flames and neighborhoods being destroyed. And I wrote wow under it, just thinking it's you could have written that about a novel set in 2020. And that feels both, you know, like so much has changed, but not clearly way too much has not changed.
Exactly. And I think that's also a moment where you see characters reacting to these images so differently based on their racial background and where they come from and whether they understand and empathize with the pain and the anger or whether they don't. And I think that that's also something that you're seeing around as everybody is trying to process this moment.
Yeah. All right. So to the where they come from point, let's dive into the novel. And I want you to tell us about Mallard, Louisiana. This is the town where your characters, the twins, Stella and Desiree, grow up, which is, it's a fictional town, right?
Yeah. I got the idea for the book from a conversation I had with my mother, who told me very offhandedly one day about a town she remembered from her Louisiana childhood where everyone sort of intermarried so that their children would get lighter with each generation. So I wanted to kind of explore the idea of a place like this. And I was able to draw on some research from similar Creole communities that were similarly insular and organized around people having light skin and kind of aspiring to have it light skin in different generations.
So I've heard you use the term a racial third space talking about this town. Explain.
Yeah, so I found it really interesting, the idea that this is a Black community that feels that they are separate from darker-skinned Black people, and at the same time, they know that they are not treated in the way that white people are treated. So what does it mean to kind of exist in that third space, particularly in that time and place, which is a rural Louisiana town during the age of Jim Crow? It was a binary. There were white spaces and there were colored spaces. So what does it mean to not exist in either and to exist in that liminal place?
The twins are inseparable as girls, and then one of them decides to pass as white, to take a job that was only open to a white woman. Her twin, Desiree, is left behind and lives her life as a black woman. Why was that something that you wanted to explore?
Well, I think I was interested in this book of the idea of race as something that is both fictional and also something that is real. So I think when we talk about race being a social construct, yeah, the idea that these twins are identical and one essentially becomes white because she declares herself to be white and one is black because she does not do that, there is an aspect of that that reveals how flimsy, you know, those categories are if you can transgress them through performance. But at the same time, these decisions and that they make and how they identify themselves materially affect their lives, whether it's the jobs that they have or who they marry or what happens to their kids and the opportunities their kids are afforded. It really affects so much of their material lives, even though the idea of race and these categories are so flimsy in and of themselves.
So flimsy, and yet Stella, the one who lives her life as a white woman, finds she cannot escape her identity. She can't escape her past. It keeps tracking her down. Which seems to suggest it's, you know, it's like Faulkner wrote, the past isn't dead, it's not even past. That's a very different argument, that race is a more fixed thing.
I mean, I think it's both and it's all of them. I mean, I'm not trying to punt on this question, but I think that it really is all of those things. So for Stella, she's constantly performing and that performance is also constantly changing. So I think that that was one of the things I found interesting about setting the book when I did, which is later than a lot of stories about passing are set historically, to set it within the civil rights movement and that post-civil rights movement era. Stella is learning how to perform whiteness at a time in which whiteness itself is also changing, and the scripts that she has learned within her Jim Crow upbringing in Louisiana are not applicable to when she becomes this sort of wealthy white woman in California, and she has to perform whiteness in a different way, in a way that is often unacceptable to the other white people around her.
There have been quite a few novels written about passing, and there's often this big reveal at the end, the person who was trying to pass for white, it turns out everybody learns they're not who they said they were. You, in this book, seem less focused on that and more focused on, you know, what if a person who's passing for white is never found out? What does that look like? How does that play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of the earlier narratives of passing that I was exposed to, one was the movie Imitation of Life, which is, you know, adapted from an earlier book. And, you know, in that movie, there's like that big climatic scene at the end where the white passing character flings her body on the casket of her dark-skinned mother who's just died. And she's sort of punished by the fact that her long-suffering mother has died without her. And she realizes that, you know, she was a terrible daughter for disowning her mother. So I think a lot of these stories of passing are often these moralizing stories. To me, it was not interesting to think, like, is it good or bad to pass? I was really more interested in the implications of passing on this woman's life than in the idea of punishing her for deciding to pass.
It would be awfully easy to pass judgment on Stella, the twin who decides to pass and live life as a white woman and condemn her as being less authentic than her twin. You didn't land that way, it didn't seem like. You didn't pass that judgment.
No, I mean, I don't think I ever really want to moralize in fiction. I just find that boring as a writer. So yeah, I was really thinking about the idea of passing as both an act of self-creation and also an act of self-destruction. I think there's something so deeply American of the idea that you can be who you want to be. You can create yourself. You can build yourself, sort of Gatsby, you know, that kind of ideology of being able to reinvent yourself in whatever way that you choose. But at the same time, you know, Stella loses a great deal by doing this. She loses her connection to her past and her family, her community. She's a woman who is very alone in this new world that she's chosen to join.
That's Britt Bennett talking about her new novel, The Vanishing Half. Britt Bennett, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.